Well, I find it quite hard to believe, I'm sure you do, that already we're entering into this season of Advent. We're entering and beginning to move through these weeks of waiting and anticipation. I must confess that as Elizabeth and I spent last week on holiday in Tenerife, in temperatures of 25 to 30 degrees Celsius, it felt unseasonably warm for the start of this new year in the church calendar. I always enjoy this time of year, but of course for some of you this time of year may be a time of mixed emotions, and we're aware of that. Nonetheless, I hope that as we share together as God's people throughout the coming weeks, we'll all recapture the sense of waiting and anticipation, and then know something very real about the joy of Christmas, when we remember how God sent his only Son to be born among us. Books that I read, really I only discovered in my late teens, were C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles. Perhaps you've read some of them or seen some of them televised. In the first of these books, a book called The Magician's Nephew, C.S. Lewis describes a wood that the children reach by magic. It's a kind of no place, a place in which Polly and Diggory, the two children, come to call the wood between worlds. And from that place they enter Charn, a dying world, Narnia at the dawn of creation, and return again at last to their own world. But in the wood, time is suspended, and they can hardly begin to imagine the trials and the adventures that await them in the many different worlds they are to visit. By now, I expect at least some of you will have heard the good news that Elizabeth and I are anticipating the birth of our first child this April. Just now, the two of us stand in the wood between worlds. We do not know what our child will be like, or what his or her impact on our lives will be, although people give us advice. Advent is a bit like that. It is also a wood between worlds. It's a point in the Christian calendar where we stand between two worlds. The world that simply cannot imagine Christ, and the world in which he comes to be the only picture of reality that we have. At this point, we stand in a world where God's great act of incarnation and redemption is just a shadow, a child growing within the womb, secretly, in the dark. We do not yet know what this child will be like, or what his impact on our lives will be. So this season of Advent gives us a time of preparing. A time to prepare to choose again. And which world will we choose? Will we choose the world of the newly born child, where so many of our most dearly held ideas about God and ourselves will be challenged? Or will we choose the old world, where there is no life, no birth, but at least there's also no challenge? The wood between worlds is a place of great drowsiness because it's not a real place. And both Paul in his letter to the Romans and Matthew in his gospel warn us that the danger of the waiting period is sleep, oblivion, and unpreparedness. Matthew, for instance, reminds us that it's very easy to live as though our world is real and secure, and as though there is no need to be watchful or poised for action. Until the moment they were swept away by the flood, the people of Noah's day were carrying on their normal lives, They were oblivious to the frantic hammering and the animal herding that was going on in Noah's backyard. Only Noah was prepared for what happened. And Matthew, in little vignettes he paints in his gospel, of people innocently getting on with their lives or turning their backs at just the wrong moment, well, any one of those could be us. Paul, too, in the book of Romans, warns of the dangers of dozing off during this vital period when we need to prepare to make life and death decisions. Being Paul, he does not like to admit ignorance, as Matthew does, of the time, of when the time will come. Instead, Paul urges us to get ready for the dawn. It's time to be polishing our armour, Paul says, so that it will gleam in the sun that is about to rise. Don't go back to sleep now. Any moment the alarm will go off. Wake up, Paul says to believers in Rome. You see, the Apostle Paul was writing to people who were, well, they were comfortable. And in their comfortableness, they were wavering in their behavior and their beliefs. Sometimes they were following the ways of God, and sometimes they were losing touch with them. And Paul's exhortation to his readers, and his urging of those of us who are believers today and who read his words, is to live so that others, seeing us, might also follow and receive salvation. But if Matthew, this gospel we're going to be reading all year, if Matthew and Paul are proper readings for this season of Advent, with their emphasis on the importance of preparation, then certainly Isaiah reminds us what all this waiting and preparation is for. This prophet, one of the many prophets called Isaiah that are contained in the book of Isaiah, is Isaiah of Jerusalem. And he wrote during a time of political upheaval and threatened invasion. The once powerful kingdom of David had been divided. It had been torn into two separate kingdoms. Israel, with its capital of Samaria in the north, and Judah, with its capital of Jerusalem down in the south. Assyria threatened to control the whole area. And in this prophecy, Isaiah cautions against alliances with foreign powers. He urges Judah to rely on God and God alone. And in Isaiah 2, which we had read just a few verses earlier, the prophetic vision is an inclusive vision. The center of these verses is the vision of the Lord's house restored to its proper focal position. But our eyes, as we read Isaiah 2, are drawn towards the people streaming towards the holy mountain. What is it, we ask, that they are looking for? Why have they come? Well, they are apparently people who are sick of war. People who know that they have lost any ability to judge whether or not the fight is just. They long for an arbiter. They long for peace. And above all, they long to learn of a new way of living. They are people who have learned the hard way, the cost of wrong choices. And now they just ache. They ache to be taught. They ache to be prepared for a different world. But Isaiah's own longing is betrayed in the last verse of this reading, in which he says, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Surely, surely, he begs, we can see what God is offering. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. If even the nations who have not known God can look to him and see him as their heart's desire, then surely we, his people, can admit that this is the way of life. Indeed, perhaps the two are connected. Perhaps if we, God's people, prepare ourselves to walk in his light, we will make the path plain for others who are lost and longing. Or is it shamingly sometimes the other way around? Will perhaps the desperate, those utterly despairing of the world they know, lead us, who are supposed to be God's people? Will they lead us to his path? Perhaps we are indeed just like C.S. Lewis's characters, Polly and Diggory. Perhaps we are caught in the wood between worlds. Choosing between worlds is not easy. It needs to be prepared for and imagined over and over again. As we move through this season of Advent and on to Christmas, when the child is born, I wonder, will it be a shock of anguish or a shock of joy that comes to us? Let us pray.